Hello, this is Garrett Gunderson, and you're listening to a producer interview. I'm excited to be bringing this to you, especially because, well, this is just a good job, I've got to say. I get to interview people that I like to spend time with, that I learn from, and that are just good examples out there, and real people. I pride myself as far as these producer interviews that they're not just someone that, you know, I put on here and we go, okay, so they have a perfect life and they've always lived a perfect life. But people that, you know, they went through moments where they said, okay, look, I'm going to do something different, or I'm going to learn this lesson, I'm going to teach other people. And because of that, you'll feel the authenticity and you'll also get more value from this. So I know that this is one of the favorite things that people in the membership have, is the producer interviews, to be able to listen to them on a monthly basis and find a lot of inspiration. Well, our guest on this one definitely has inspired me. I met him up on the mountain, is what they call it, just outside of Colorado Springs in Colorado, and going through a program called Total Solutions, where my wife and I were participants with many other people that were doctors. So we were about the only ones that weren't a doctor there, other than maybe some other spouses that were going through. And it was really a transformational type experience, very experiential. And for me, to have my wife there, I'll just say that after going through the program and spending time with Dr. Steve Hoffman, I'm now down about 20 pounds from that, which was at the time of this recording, about 4 months ago. And my wife and I were able to get a couple things really handled as far as health when it came to our lives, and especially our kids' lives. And has opened up a whole new conversation in the way of thinking in the world. And I'll even tell you, at that event, I really discovered some areas where I hadn't forgiven myself for some things in the past, where I thought that I'd made some mistakes. And even though I know that many times that's the ingredients and the very thing that helps us to move forward and learn lessons, that somehow I felt that, man, I should have known better and I was stupid and, oh, that hurt my family financially. And I was able to really reconcile that here at this program, Total Solutions, where Dr. Steve Hoffman is one of the main instructors, and one of the very real instructors, very emotional at times, willing to let, you know, some of the very important stories of his life out so that people could really learn from it, and that, therefore, people are endeared to him, as was I. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of synchronicity going on because, you know, as I do sometimes, I plan my way to get there. Hadn't necessarily planned how I was going to get from the mountain all the way back to Denver Airport, which was definitely over an hour away. And it just so happened that I got a ride back from this great experience with Dr. Steve Hoffman, and it feels like we've been friends for years and years from that day forward, because we've really gotten to know each other pretty well, and that's definitely why I wanted to bring him on to this call. He ran a chiropractic organization in Michigan, saw hundreds of patients a week. I believe your volume was like 600 or something crazy, wasn't it?
Between 400 and 500 patient visits a week in a town of 10,000 people. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so basically the town, everyone there knew Dr. Hoffman. Probably one of the healthiest. I imagine that the health of that town had to just be crazy good compared to most of Michigan. So that's pretty exciting. And then now he lives in basically right outside of San Diego and dedicates so much of his time to coach and to help the people out there in the chiropractic profession, and is just someone that's really dedicated to living a great life. He's a very happy person. He's a generous contributor and has several accolades that we could talk about, but we're going to focus more on just Steve as the human being and how he can create some value for you, and you'll hear about some of his accomplishments as we kind of go along in this interview. So welcome to the producer interview, Steve.
Garrett, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to do this.
You know, when we were driving to the airport, one of the things, you know, as I had my journal and I was taking notes, I just loved that you had reserved this time to spend time and kind of take your kids on dates on a weekly basis. And just so you know, I've incorporated that into my life. And just this week, I took my boys out on a you know, evening to remember, as I took them to the mall, bought them, you know, a pretzel, and they were running around and dancing around, and we had a good old time. So thanks to your, you know, kind of insight there. But talk about how that came about and what that was like, because you have a wonderful wife, Karen, who's just an angelic person, and you've got two kids, a son and a daughter, correct?
That's correct. And they're grown. My son is 26, my daughter is 23, and boy, I have to tell you, looking back, I'm so glad that I learned lessons to carve out, as you said, time to spend with my family consciously rather than unconsciously, because, you know, they grow up, and we cherish the time that we spend with them now. And looking back, I would hate to have had regrets. And so, yeah, daddy-daughter night on Monday nights was a great time. We got to do whatever she wanted to do. And this all came about because I'm a workaholic. given the choice of doing something meaningless or doing something meaningful, I'll usually choose meaningful. The problem with that is I could work 20 hours a day, and sometimes did that at the expense of my family. And so the important lesson for me was, sure, I'll spend time with my family, but I was fitting my family into the holes that were left over by chiropractic instead of fitting chiropractic into the holes that were left over by my family. And when I learned that core lesson, I scheduled them first rather than last. And this allowed me to have conscious time with the people that I love the most. And so that's where daddy-daughter night came from.
Well, and you're just basically unveiling a principle, because we're talking about, you know, even when it comes to money, what about paying yourself first? And so putting your family first versus letting it get crowded out, I think that's especially important. Now, you're talking about chiropractic, and I think there's plenty of misinformation out there. There's probably many of our listeners that go to chiropractors, and for me, I've been seeing a chiropractor for 7 years, and it's made a tremendous difference. I mean, I pretty much, it would be an anomaly for me to get sick. I went because I was having numbness in my feet, which I no longer have, and can run much longer distance with no impact that way. What is chiropractic, and why did you get involved in it?
Wow, loaded questions, Garrett, especially in today's day and age. Well, let's very briefly look at chiropractic, and then I'm more than happy to tell you how I got started. I think the best way to describe what chiropractic does outside the public's paradigm is to look within the public paradigm. Chiropractic is seen as a solution primarily for back and pain-related syndromes. However, we don't see ourselves that way, and it's important for us to be able to communicate what that's all about to people. So I really appreciate you asking the question.
All right, let's roll with it.
All right, well, if we look at what we do, truly our avenue of approach is the back, is the spine, is chiropractic adjustment. But the real question is, what's the purpose? Why do we do things like that? And in order to answer that question, ultimately the discussion, in order to keep this as brief and succinct as possible, the discussion has to go to health and what is health. And it's not what the public knows, doesn't know about health that's the problem. It's what they do know that isn't so that's the problem. And one of the things we talked about on the mountain is contradiction. And so here's the contradiction that the public has and ultimately has to face. If you ask people how they know if they're healthy, most times they will tell you they know they're healthy if they feel good, they have no symptoms, nothing hurts, their feet aren't numb. Okay? And that's how the public goes about deciding if they are or aren't healthy. However, if we were to ask the same question but flip it, we would find that the public has a completely contrary, equal set of beliefs, which is, if I asked you how you would know if you had heart disease, and you had no symptoms, your answer would be, well, gee, I don't know. I guess I'd have to have some tests.
Right.
In fact, the earliest symptoms of heart disease are there aren't any. The earliest symptoms of diabetes are, well, there aren't any. Cancer, there aren't any. That's why the medical profession has come up with all kinds of tests, diagnostic tests, to determine if somebody has a life-threatening disease, even though they feel fine. And so we have a belief that says, on the one hand, if I feel good, I'm healthy. On the other hand, the public also has an equal opposite belief that says, I can feel perfectly fine and not be healthy. Well, those two beliefs cannot coexist. Only one of those is actually true. And the true belief, or the belief that's true, is that you could feel perfectly fine and not be fine at all.
Right.
And so from this we can derive, Garrett, that how we feel is a poor indicator of how healthy we are. And then we would need to look at what would be a good indicator. And all of these sick people who felt fine had one other thing in common. They all had bodies that weren't functioning properly. And so the medical approach to health is to look at the individual tissue cells and organs that aren't functioning properly and try to influence those tissue cells and organs. What chiropractors do is they recognize that the nervous system is the primary control mechanism in the body. And if you have a body that's not functioning properly, it is not functioning properly as a necessity because the nervous system isn't functioning properly. And so what chiropractors do, to answer your question, is they look at how stress is negatively impacting the nervous system. And the vehicle that most of us use to do that is called a subluxation station. This is why we were all up on the mountain to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the subluxation station allows the doctor and the patient to be able to see the impact stress is having on their nervous system. The chiropractor's job is to reduce the impact of stress on the nervous system, not by reducing the amount of stress someone is under, but by getting the nervous system to function at a higher level so that it's better able to cope with the amount of stress that it's under. See, when you were running, you didn't run any less because your feet were no longer numb. Okay? So it wasn't a question of that physical stress on your body being the issue. It was how your body was able to handle that stress that the chiropractor was able to help you with. I hope that was a clear explanation.
Very clear explanation. So, and basically for you, you obviously have this passion about it, and not just a passion to, you know, hey, you want to see a few patients, you want to help everyone else that's seeing patients and make as big of an impact as you can. And, you know, like your passion's pretty obvious, isn't it? Not just from, you know, you definitely clearly articulated that, but just, you know, in watching you teach everyone else, you know, was there a moment where you knew you were going to be a chiropractor, and what was that like? How did you know?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't know if there was a specific incident or it was a process. And I'm suspecting that it was more a process rather than one day I woke up and went, this is for me. I went to a chiropractor for the first time many, many years ago, for the same reason many people go. I hurt my back. And, you know, the chiropractor I went to, thank God, made me sit through an orientation where he explained what it is he was doing. And that, I suspect, was the first light bulb when he explained that if you interfere with the communication between the control centers in the brain and the tissue cells in the body, you must always produce a body that cannot function the way it was designed to function. I think that was light bulb number one. Light bulb number two for me was when all kinds of other health problems that I didn't even tell the chiropractor about started to go away. That was light bulb number two. Light bulb number three was deciding to change directions in my life and go to chiropractic college. And from, you know, my purpose in going was really to learn enough to take care of my family, not to be a chiropractor. And while there, I was taken under the wings of some of the most influential chiropractors of the time, and they really left me little choice but to be who really I think I was designed to be, and that was a chiropractor first, and then somebody who helps chiropractors help people, which is where we're at today.
And so you have a son that, you know, is graduating from chiropractic school as well.
Oh, I'm so excited. He graduates he graduates in 2 days. He graduates on December 12th.
Great. So he's graduating, obviously an exciting time for you. And, you know, as we're looking out there, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of myth around health. For example, health care, you know, it's a big topic right now. Health care is what they call it. They're talking about health insurance primarily. It's this big government issue. But look, better insurance isn't going to solve the problem. What's the real root of the problem, and what would it take for people to, you know, embrace and have better health in their life? What does that really mean to have good health?
Well, I think what it means is having a body that functions properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the health issue in the country is a result of a, well, it's December. I think it's a Santa Claus mentality, which is, you know, I can be bad all the time, and then, you know, if I'm good for a little while, everything will be okay. I think we're brought up that if you don't feel good, there's something that you could take that will make you feel better. And so we start as little children, and we have a fever, or we have a cold, or we have an ear infection, and there's a pill for that. And then in today's day and age, you get a little bit older, and all of a sudden you're a little more active, you know, normal than your colleagues. You're a little bit more bored in your classroom, and all of a sudden you're labeled as being overactive, and we have a pill for that. And every time we didn't feel good or fit in, there was a pill for that, a pill, a powder, a potion, a lotion, something. And then we wonder why, as teenagers and young adults, every time we don't feel good about something, we seek another outside-in influence to try to make us feel better about whatever we're going through in our life. And so we have an event-based mentality when it comes to our health. We let our health break down, and then we turn it over to somebody else so that they can fix us. We would never drive our cars that way,
right?
But we drive our lives that way. And so I think the big answer here, Garrett, is that if people would look at lifestyle rather than treatment, they would be better off in the short run and in the long run. Everybody who's healthier today than they were 5 years ago is healthier today because they made lifestyle decisions that contributed to their health, rather than having received a treatment that all of a sudden made their health wonderful. And I think the parallel should be obvious to your listeners that the same is true when it comes to wealth.
For sure. I think, you know, we can't abdicate responsibility and expect positive results. That, you know, it's interesting because we almost have this immortality complex. Like, we almost think that everything's fine until something's wrong. And as you're saying, yeah, those symptoms may not be there, because early detection is there's no symptom necessarily. It's really a matter of a lifestyle choice. And that people have gotten confused at the difference between health care and sick care. Sick care is, you know, what our health care system has become. When you get sick, you go to the doctor. It's not about, you know, eating properly, making sure you're in alignment, and proactively. Like, I don't have back pain. I don't have foot pain, but I go to the chiropractor, you know, on average 3 times a month. So why do I do it? Because I'm looking for optimal health. I'm looking to invest in myself. I'm looking to make sure that I've got the right conditions for the body to self-regulate and heal and be able to be at optimal performance, which to me is the very same things that we're talking about in Five Tracks of Wealth. There's financial, there's soul purpose, there's mental, there's physical, and there's social. If you don't take care of your health, it will impact all other four tracks of wealth inevitably. It bleeds over. Just like when people don't take care of their finances, it hurts their health. There's that negative stress. There's that worry. There's that scarcity mentality that also obviously impacts their mindset and therefore impacts the actions that they take, the relationships that they have, and whether or not they discover or live their soul purpose. So health is just something that I'm glad we're bringing light to it, especially, you know, hey, we're recording this in December right now, where a lot of people almost let their health go during this time. For some areas, people are cold during this time, not San Diego or Steve Lips, but, you know, where I live, and so they nestle up in the house, they eat more food, and they almost kind of go in this hibernation, and this is the time to really step up the game and say, what standard do you want to live in your life? What would it take to be ideal in that area? What would you have to be committed to that you aren't currently? And part of that, and this is the essential piece and what I really know from being around you, Steve, is that it's not just about, oh, I'm going to go work out, because some people get so caught up in the activity. The reason that they don't continue with it is because they don't have the education. Just like if you want to make more money and you want to understand value creation, you want to understand personal finance and your financial literacy or any area of life, you've got to be more enlightened in it and have that focus of education. And for me, that's why Total Solutions was important, because it was investing in myself and paying, you know, attention to that area is why it improved, because I had a different viewpoint. I got rid of some of those myths, and then I was able to move forward more powerfully. And I think that we're debunking some of the health myths and also shedding some light onto an industry that when people know about it, they, you know, they talk about the benefits. But a lot of people don't know about chiropractic, and maybe they even have a thought like, well, I don't know what that is, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. So I would say if you've never been, that now's a good time. You know, give yourself a gift this holiday season.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you talk about being a good steward, and I think the overriding goal, if people actually examine their lives, would be their health. Okay, their relationship suffers if their health is compromised. Their wealth suffers, as you said. Every other aspect of their life, if people would look at all the different facets, whether it be social, relationships, business, career, parenting, their relationship with their spouse, their emotional, educational development, you know, if they really had to boil it down to what's the linchpin? What's the one objective I can pursue that will have a positive impact on all my other objectives in life? Health almost always comes up as the top priority, but it's not treated that way. And so I'm so glad you bring this to light for your listeners so that they will move their own personal health and well-being up on their priority totem pole.
So what are the basic things, Steve, that people could do? Just some initial steps right now, things they could do within the next 24 hours to help them improve their health.
Great question. I think it's a great question with lots of common sense answers. Obviously, I have a bias, and that bias is, by all means, visit a chiropractor, preferably a chiropractor utilizing the subluxation station so that you can actually see the impact that the stress in your life has had on your nervous system. But there are also lots of other very simple, very straightforward, easy, cost-nothing steps that people could take. One would be drink more water. Yeah. Move. You know, get a decent night's sleep. Understand what emotions contribute to your well-being and what emotions detract from your well-being. What brings happiness and joy into your life that's good for you, as opposed to what brings happiness and joy into your life that's bad for you? You know, I like to eat. But my wife pointed out to me the best way for me to eat as much as I want is to live as long as possible, not to try to do it all in one meal.
I love that context. That's brilliant. I've never thought of it that way, but that's great.
There you go. And so I think, as I said before, you know, people aren't stupid about what would contribute to their health. They just ignore it. You know, given a choice between you know, a double cheeseburger, fries, and a shake, and a good salad with some nice grilled chicken on it, most people are going to pick the tastier of the two instead of the healthier of the two. I think if people just bring health up in their consciousness and ask themselves a question, you know, is this good for me not only in the short run but also in the long run? How will this contribute to my survival value or my thrival value, rather than just how's it going to feel at the moment, they'll make the right decision. You know, there's an expression, can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that came up because if you're standing right in front of the tree, it's hard to see the forest. Back up. And what that means is if you make your goals, if you make your life on a broader perspective, and this is something that you're contributing to us with regard to money and legacy, but if you step back and take a broader view, things become far more clear. You know, I don't want to be a great grandfather who's sitting in the corner dribbling on himself. I want to be actually able to play and enjoy and have my great grandchildren enjoy me. And in order for that to happen, I have to take steps today that are going to contribute to my life and longevity and the quality of that life as you're doing. So hats off to you.
I love it. I love it. And so don't you have a podcast or some ways that people can get some information on some health tips and, you know, even a deeper understanding of chiropractic as an example?
Well, yeah, and lots of easy ways for that to happen. We have a practice tip for practitioners that is free. All people have to do is go up to the website and request it. It's Dr. Steve Hoffman, drstevehoffman.com. We have a free page, and one of the things on the free page is the practice tip newsletter. The health tip newsletter is disseminated through chiropractic offices where we offer a health tip every single week as well as a practice tip. It really depends on what information you would like people to have. We have a marketing podcast every single week. We created an automated podcast network called Health News. And the way that network works is once a practitioner's database is added to our database, everyone in that doctor's database would get a health news story, typically a health tip, 60-second health tip every single week. It's something that can be modified really for any business. It doesn't have to be about health. And that you could get information on that at healthnewspodcast.com. We do interviews for doctors. It was so fun interviewing you a while back. We do a beautiful production of the interviews so that the person being interviewed can use that in their community, in their marketing, with their colleagues. And chiropractors are loving that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are the business entities that we utilize to help both the public as well as the practitioner.
Great, great. And I just want to make sure that people had a way to you know, access that. And I know that you give away a lot of good information for free. And so I want to make sure that people have an idea what to do there. So I'm going to switch gears for a little bit here. And, you know, Steve, do you have kind of like a I don't know whether it's a motto or a creed or a formula or a way to even describe what it takes for you to have a successful life, and how you know when you're being successful.
Well, we actually have a formula. Strangely enough, we call it the success formula. And a brief history
about
it. It
sounds like I lobbed that to you, but I didn't know you had a success formula. So it sounds like that was totally planned. I pre-wrote it, but that was not the case. It's just that that's how in tune you are, man. So it's perfect.
No worries. A little history. I opened my first practice in Michigan at the end of the Jimmy Carter era, and while many may not remember, it makes recent economic crisis look like nothing. Double-digit inflation, double-digit unemployment, it was really a nasty economic time, and I utilized this formula to rocket that practice to over 300 patient visits a week in the first year, and then leveled it off at the level I described to you at the beginning of this conversation, because that's where I wanted to be. And when I sold that practice and moved to California, as you well know, and I guess I'll bare my soul for your audience here, I made a bunch of really stupid business decisions that cost me everything I had accumulated and then some. In fact, Karen and I found ourselves sitting in front of a bankruptcy attorney because we qualified. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger on bankruptcy for one reason. And the reason was I knew how to create success. I followed a formula before. I knew if I followed that formula again, I could recreate the wealth I had lost and then some, and I did. And so I'm happy to share the formula with your listeners. It's a simple hierarchy, meaning it's not just here are the five ingredients, but rather here are the five ingredients, and they must be done in the right order in order to produce the product, which is success. And so the first ingredient, the base of the pyramid, so to speak, is vision. And vision asks the question, what exactly are you trying to create? What do you want the results of your efforts to be? And my experience with many chiropractors is they have a very nebulous answer to this question, and the answer is more. Well, but how much more? What would be sufficient? What would you enjoy? See, I leveled my practice off at about 500 patient visits a week because that's what I wanted. I've leveled my coaching practice off at 2 days a week because that's what I want. If I'm on the island, I spend about a quarter of my year in the Caribbean. I want to talk to docs. I want to help them. I want to do it 2 days a week because I want to have a life too. And so the big issue with many chiropractors is they're so devoted that they sacrifice the people that they love the most in order to take care of more. Mm-hmm. Figure out how much would be the right amount for you.
Well, there's a disease of more, right? It's like a disease. I want more. It's like they did a study economically showing if someone made 100 grand and they found out someone else made 120 grand, that person with 100 grand was unhappy. But then they took people doing the same thing and were paying them 50 grand, and then they would find out other people were making 40 grand, and they were happy because they were making more than someone else. And so they're constantly at the whim of something outside of themselves. And they don't have this formula or this way to measure whether or not they're successful. And more is a disease. The keeping up with the Joneses. Part of the reason that people get stuck in this consumer condition and they overspend and they buy things for show. And, I've heard the quote of, they buy things to impress people that they don't even like,
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing, but I think that you've really hit it on the head here.
Well, thanks. And you know what? you can't ever win the game called more. Okay, because yeah, there's always more.
There's yeah, and there's always someone that's going to have more of something in some area.
There you go.
Or and, at least but, your perception is going to be that way, right?
Oh, for sure. You will always find someone who has more.
Yep.
Right? But the real problem with this, Garrett, in my view, is, you know, in the last few years, people have become knowledgeable about the law of attraction. And this game called More is a total violation of the law of attraction, and people don't realize it. They think more is goal setting and that it's good. Here, watch. Here's what happens. Here's what goes on in chiropractic offices. They capriciously decide, this is my goal. I want to be able to see X number of patients a day or a week or a month. And every time period that goes by, whether it's a day, a week, or a month, that they don't hit this number, they beat themselves up. And then when they finally, if they ever, when they finally hit the number that was plucked from the air, they go, all right, now let's set a new goal. Let's create a new number that's also plucked from the air that has no real meaning to us other than a number. And every day, week, or month that they don't get there, they beat themselves up. And then when they finally get there, if they get there, it's, well, all right, and let's set a new goal. That's the game called more. And what people don't realize when they play it that way, what they're continuously putting out to the universe is that they're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I fall short over and over and over again. When I finally make it, it's no big deal, and then I set myself up to fall short over and over and over again. Rather than knowing this is what I'm trying to create, they live a life of trying to score first downs instead of touchdowns. Okay?
Right.
So vision is critical. After vision, skills. What skills will I need? What talents will I need in order to actualize this vision? And sometimes you have the skill, talent, or ability to do it, and sometimes you don't. I'm for people playing to their strengths.
Me too. This is why we get along so good, Steve.
I know. And you've been so helpful with this. You know, I haven't done a lot of work with Todd yet, but I had this great idea for a web-based program. I don't know how to do any of that stuff, and I'm not really interested in learning how. I want to find somebody who is interested, who has the skill, talent, and ability, and can apply their skill to my vision,
right?
Their talent to my passion, so that we can take one and one and make three out of it. Once you have the skills, once the skills are in place, then the question, the issue, the next step up this hierarchy is motivation. What motivates you, or what will motivate you on a day-by-day basis to keep showing up, to keep doing the things that are necessary in order to get where you want to go? And so motivation is intimately tied to vision. It's also tied to discipline. Because for you to have lost 20 pounds in the last 4 months required discipline. And
right.
People will tell you that they do or they don't have discipline. The truth is people have discipline where they want it. Okay, and they use it as an excuse everywhere else. The discipline to do the things that are necessary is based on an individual's willingness to have what they say they want. And sometimes people will say one thing but really believe another, and that's when motivation becomes an issue. Once motivation is handled, Garrett, the next item is resources. Do you have an effective, appropriate vehicle? And this is where you're brilliant, by the way. I don't mind saying that.
You're
welcome. You know, what resources will I need to get where I'm going? What's an effective vehicle from the point of view of human resources? Relationship resources, financial resources, physical resources. Do I have an appropriate facility and faculty to accomplish what I'm setting out to accomplish. And then lastly, and it's interesting, lastly is what's the plan? And interesting because everyone wants the plan first. And by going after the plan first, you may find yourself racing towards an objective, but it could be the exact wrong objective for you.
Exactly.
I'd much rather have you move towards it deliberately, knowing that that's the right objective for you, than racing in the wrong direction. So plan is last. And that's the hierarchy, that's the success formula. And the best part about the formula is if a piece is missing, it screams at you, I'm missing. So let me take people through that real quickly, and then we'll see where we want to go from there. Okay. If vision is missing, what you get instead of success is confusion, because you don't know what you're trying to create. If skills are missing, what you get instead of success is anxiety, freak out, worry, because you don't know how you're going to get there, even though you know where there is. If motivation is missing, implementation doesn't happen. If there's a resistance to do, to follow, to implement, it's because there is insufficient motivation. If resources are missing, the only word that ever comes up is frustration. Okay? Because you can't get there. You know where you want to go. You have the skills, talents, and abilities to get there. You're highly motivated to do it, but you don't have the vehicle. That's frustration. And if your life, your business, your relationship is on a treadmill, meaning no matter how fast you go, no matter how hard you try, even though there are ups, even though there are downs, at the end of the year, you're pretty much where you were at the beginning of the year. That's a treadmill business, a treadmill relationship, a treadmill life, a treadmill practice. And that exists because there's an absence of or an unwillingness to follow whatever plan you've created for yourself. So it's kind of fun because you were here in San Diego a couple of months ago helping with our planning program. You were in New Jersey a week or so ago helping Patrick with his planning program. And I have to tell you, if we could just get the members of my profession to plan their business, their practice, their life, their finances forward, they would stop playing the game called more. So thank you for your contribution in that direction.
Thanks, Steve. And, you know, I think that you shared just some brilliant things right there to kind of bring this at the end to a point where people could really, you know, they could adopt this. They will want to listen to this again and see how to apply it into their lives. That success formula, going through basically the pyramid of, you know, each of the steps, which is so in alignment with what we teach with our four P's to prosperity. But it, you know, in finance, the product is the last thing. You're saying the plan is the last thing. I agree. It's about sole purpose much before that, to even know which products to select. It's about the perspective and viewpoint of you have. You know, if you have poverty consciousness, no amount of saving, discipline, luck, the right product is going to save you from the misery that comes along with that. So I love the passion that you have for the field of health and just the passion that you have for life. You, as you mentioned, you live in the Caribbean for a lot of the year on a island that's not as known or populated, but that you have a real connection with the people, and used to sleep outside in tents and in an earlier life of yours. And, you know, now you've got kind of this great place to go and enjoy life and drive your beater truck instead of the Porsche that you might drive around San Diego. And I just like that you're living a life that you can tell that you love, that you're dedicated, that you're, you know, you're one of the first to get there, one of the last to leave. And one of the big lessons that I hope all the listeners get from this is that you notice that Steve has no problem complimenting someone. He has no problem acknowledging people. And that comes from inner confidence that he has in himself an abundant viewpoint to know that by actually uplifting someone else, it doesn't degrade him at all. It does just the opposite. It endears those people more to him, and that didn't deplete any of your strengths by any means. As a matter of fact, it allows someone else to see those strengths more in you. So I thought that you did that more than once, either towards me or towards other people that you were mentioning throughout this interview. And I really wanted to make sure that the listeners saw that or got that, so that, in their own lives, you could go out and what can you be appreciative of? Who could you be appreciative of? What can you currently be grateful for? And what are some of the specific steps you could start to take to put your high priorities first? Like, you pay yourself first, whether that's put your family first, whether that's, put your health first, instead of a lot of people are out there in survival mode, or they're frantically, crazily working and missing out on what everyone else would call living, and living a fulfilled life. So you also talked about, the difference between immediate gratification versus fulfillment. A lot of us in food, we get immediately gratified, but we don't feel fulfilled because now we overate, and I know I wake up that next morning, I don't feel good. If I'm looking more towards fulfillment and saying, what will be the healthiest options for me? And I love that context that Karen kind of put out there of, hey, you love to eat, Steve, so the longer you're around, the more food you're going to get to eat, so don't try and get it all out there in one meal. Beautiful, well said, and not surprised to hear that coming from Karen, who's just, like I said, an angelic being. So anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with, and maybe even just leave a website where they can find out more about you.
Sure, thank you. And thanks for those comments. You pick up stuff in me that I don't see most of the time, so thank you for that. The website, by all means, go up, have a look around, especially go to the free area of the site and take whatever you like. I love being able to contribute to you, and that's www.drstevehoffman.com. And you know what? If your listeners are interested in the success formula, I have a program on it that I'm happy to gift everybody if they'll just email me and request it. And that's just drsteve@drstevehoffman.com. And just put in your email that you listened to Garrett's program, you heard me speak, and you won the success formula program. I'll be more than happy to send it to you as my gift. Beyond that, Garrett, I have to tell you that my life is a result of all the people who have sought to contribute to it, and you're way up high on that list. So I feel very blessed that we were put together on that ride to Denver a few months ago. Very blessed that we consider you family at this point. And I'm delighted that you invited me on today. And bottom line, if there's something that you need from me, I'm more than happy to do whatever I can to make sure that you get it, because that's what family does for family.
All right. Well, hey, Steve, thank you again. I really appreciate you doing this and for just being who you are.
Thank you so much. Have an awesome holiday. I look forward to seeing you soon.